Go to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Here's another verse that people will take out of context in order to teach false doctrine. Now, when it comes to the subject of the Trinity, we have a lot of clear scripture in the New Testament on the Trinity. And there are lots of scriptures that specifically delve into the relationship between the Father and the Son, or the relationship between the Son and the Holy Ghost, right? And they really go into detail, and that's what those chapters are even about, where Jesus in the book of John is just expounding how the Father loves the Son, and the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world, and how the Son obeys the Father and submits to the Father and is subject unto the Father. And there are all these scriptures explaining the three persons of the Godhead and explaining their relationship with one another. But those scriptures are found in the New Testament, not in the Old Testament. Why? Because in the Old Testament, the Trinity is not a big subject in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the message that God is hammering is that there's only one God. And he's contrasting with all the gods of the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Philistines. He's saying, those are all false gods. I'm the true God. Now, once we know about the Trinity from the New Testament, once we understand that, then, of course, if we go back to the Old Testament, we'll find it all over the pages of the Old Testament. It's all over the place. But it's not explained in the Old Testament. It's not in focus in the Old Testament. It's not something that God is really teaching in the Old Testament. It's there once you know about it. You'll see it all over the place. But there's not clear scripture in the Old Testament explaining the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and how the three interact with one another and their relationship with one another. There's plenty of that in the New Testament. I don't have time to go into it. But in Isaiah 9:6, this is a verse that people will use to teach a false doctrine called modalism or oneness, where they deny the Trinity and say that Jesus is God the Father. Now, out of 31,000 verses in the Bible, hundreds and hundreds of times talking about the Father and the Son, this is the only verse out of 31,000 plus verses that appears to be saying that Jesus is the Father. Okay. So they'll take this verse and just say, well, see, it says it right there. Okay, let's read the verse and then let's get it in context. It says in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And then it goes on to explain more about Christ and his kingdom. Now, first of all, let's ask ourselves this question. What's the purpose of this chapter? What's the point that God's trying to make? What's he trying to teach in this verse? Is he trying to explain to us in this verse the nuances of the Trinity and explain to us the relationship between Father and Son? No. That's nowhere in view in this chapter or even in this whole book or even in the entire Old Testament. The thing that this verse is trying to teach, the point that's being made there, is that when the Messiah comes, when Christ comes, that he will be God in the flesh. This verse is teaching the deity of Jesus Christ. That's what's actually being taught. It's not trying to teach something about the relationship between the fathers. There's plenty of clear scripture in the New Testament that does that in context. And if we actually look at this verse and think about the context in which it's being written, God in general is the everlasting Father. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, all wrapped up into one God, right? We could call God in general the everlasting Father. Because notice what this verse does not say. It doesn't say God the Father. It says the everlasting Father, which is a term that's only used one time in Scripture. And obviously, we could look at God in general as the everlasting Father. And the Old Testament is usually just referring to God in general, because the Trinity is not even in view in the Old Testament. It's just referring to God in general. We don't get into the specifics of the Trinity very much until we get into the New Testament. So they're taking an Old Testament scripture to negate hundreds of clear New Testament scriptures. See, the New Testament is clearer than the Old Testament. Yeah, right. In the Old Testament, they saw through a glass darkly. We see much more clearly in the New Testament. We understand the nature of God way more than Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob ever thought of. Now, they understand it now because they're up in heaven and they know about the New Testament. And there was a lot that they did understand, but there was a lot that they did not understand as well. We understand more. I mean, look, many prophets and righteous men have desired to hear the things that you've heard and have not heard them, Jesus said. He was telling the disciples how privileged they were, that they were learning things that the Old Testament prophets had no clue about. Okay, so again, this is a verse that's being ripped out of context, imported into the New Testament as, oh, well, this will tell us that Jesus is actually God the Father. He's not God the Father, he's God the Son. There's God the Father, and then there's our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And they're not the same person. They collectively make up one God in three persons. Jesus Christ is the express image of his person.
Right.
Whose person is he the express image of? God the Father. That means God the Father has a person distinct from Jesus. Jesus is the image of his person. Three persons, one God.